Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, we're coming to you live from the Quicken Loans studios in New York City. National mortgage lender, Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. 855-212-4227 is the number to get on the bench. The great Scott Miller is back from Bleacher Report, and he wrote, as I said last night on the show, if you heard me, a great piece on Jake Peavy, a guy that has done it all in baseball. He won world championships in Boston and San Francisco. He's won the Cy Young. He's won everything that you can win in baseball, including a gold glove. But this story, Scott, that you wrote is crazy. Can you tell people all over North America this great piece you did, what you found out happened to Jake Peavy?
Yeah, and I think when you say there's a guy in Jake Peavy that's done it all in baseball, you mentioned the World Series titles with Boston, San Francisco, Cy Young. I also think purchasing a duck boat from the World Series parade in Boston and having it transported down to his ranch in Alabama, I think that qualifies as done everything. Right.
No doubt. It's crazy.
You know, yeah, Jake just kind of disappeared. He last played in 2016 with the Giants, had a rough season. A lot of people thought he began to show his age, finished the year being demoted to the bullpen. What a lot of people didn't realize at the time, 2 days into spring training in 2016, he was informed that there was a Securities and Exchange Commission, SEC, investigation. The feds were on a case. He was swindled out of between $15 and $20 million by a financial advisor he had entrusted money to. And he wasn't the only pro athlete. A quarterback, Mark Sanchez, former pitcher Roy Oswalt, a number of guys lost money in what was a Ponzi-like scheme. So he lost between $15 and $20 million. And also, you know, he'd been careful his whole life not to get into debt. And the financial advisor also took about $5 million out in loans in his name. So that rocked his world. Now, it's important to say Jake Peavy's earned close to $130 million in his career.
Wow.
And as he told me in the piece, you know, there are a lot of people that have been defrauded way worse than me. You know, he's earned close to $130 million. He was swindled out of 15 to 20. But that was what was earmarked, part of what was earmarked for his retirement and for his kids and his future family, you know, inheritance. So 2016, as I said, a lot of people thought he showed his age. He ended up the season in the bullpen, just a lost year for Jake Peavy. But throughout that year, not to make excuses, but this all happened 2 days into spring training. So he spent a ton of time that year flying back and forth to Texas to give depositions and such, because that's where the eye of the hurricane was in terms of this financial agent and being investigated and you know, arrested. So this includes off days and even a day, at least one start, maybe more, where Peavy ended up flying from Texas to San Francisco like the day he was supposed to start. So anyway, that goes on all 2016. And then 4 days after he gets home to Alabama after the 2016 season, he served divorce papers. So he's and his wife had four boys.
Right.
Four boys between 3 and 16.
Right.
So he didn't play last year. He was hoping to come back about midseason last year because basically he had to put the pieces of his life back together. He's met with lawyers just about every day since this happened in the spring of 2016. You know, he's going through a divorce. He's trying to be a good dad to his four boys. So a lot of stuff going on. Peavy was hoping to come back mid-year last year. It never happened. He's in a better place now. I spent a couple days with him at his home in Alabama a couple weeks ago. he's hopeful. He's working out. He's hopeful he can get out from under everything and come back, at least have a showcase for scouts around May 1st. And that's because his 16-year-old son, who's in high school now, is living with him. And he gets out of school around May 1st. Jake just doesn't feel right about going off to spring training now when his son, who's living with him, has 2 more months left of school. So he figures about the time his son gets out of school, he's hoping to have a showcase for scouts and then hopefully sign. And he's hoping to come back later this year and rewrite his ending.
Do you think he can? Do you think he can still do it? And I never knew he was so ingrained in faith. I know that he's like a real Christian guy. I didn't know all that. And then I loved his you phrased it. I need a miracle every day. The Grateful Dead. This guy quoting great poets and stuff like that. Yep. He sounds really educated and really with it. And I never knew all that about him. I just knew this like tough, real edgy pitcher who was, so intense. It wasn't even funny. And I never knew that he had all this, smarts about him, his faith. He had all this stuff going on and that he was such a family man. I mean, did all that stuff that was going on take such a toll on him? That's why he got divorced?
It's a good question. He says he's still not sure about reasons for the divorce. I mean, it was a classic case. He married his high school sweetheart. They got married young. I think he was 18. She was 19. And, they've been together. But, sometimes when you marry so young and then a lot of people don't make it and then you go through everything that they've gone through, he doesn't finger any one reason for the divorce. But he's got himself back to a spot where he says he's as happy as he's been in his life. And you're right. There's a lot of layers to Jake. He has always been a strong Christian. And I talked to him. I said, that's how he hooked up with this financial advisor who ended up swindling him. This guy was a Christian guy. He was involved in the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. And that's how they connected on a Christian level. And I asked Jake, I said, that's got to shake your faith. And he said, yeah, no question it does when something like that happens with a guy you trust, guy you think is on your wavelength as a Christian. But coming out of it on the other end, he said it shakes your faith, but it didn't make him lose his faith. As he said, in his words, he said, I think we're all spiritual beings to some point, some more than others. But he believes in the spirituality of each individual. And then that ties into, he's become such a music guy in the last many years. And that ties into the lyrics and the poets you're talking about, the whole spirituality.
Right. He's got a music studio. He's trying a recording studio. He's got all kinds of businesses he's trying to run in Mobile. He built out that ranch and hired just about everybody locally. He still gives tons of his time and money and energy and passion. And they say he's like the most caring, giving guy anyone's ever met. Did you find him that way?
Yeah, and one reason, it should be said also, Scott, one reason I was able to get with Jake and do this is because I do have a relationship with him. Not that I don't want to paint it like we're best friends or anything. We're not. But I've known him in some form or another since his rookie year in San Diego in 2002. So, part of that's what I've always believed part of journalism is, Scott, to a degree, is, it's important to build relationships and maintain relationships.
Sure.
and earn trust. And I feel like it's because of that Jake allowed me into his world for this story. Because as he said, he'd gone dark pretty much for most of the past year. You can't find much about him. He pretty much, avoided media. It took me a long time to get him to. I've had his cell phone and, I probably called him 30 times in the month of December alone. I got to the point I was worried about being a stalker, but again, knowing Jake the way I know him, and yes, from that perspective, he's always been generous to a fault. He's been generous with his time, to teammates, to reporters, friends. He's been generous with his money going back to his, when he was a kid in San Diego, as he told me, you know, and I mentioned the story, before he even had his own foundation, he's got the Jake Peavy Foundation that's his charitable arm.
Right.
You know, he was like a 22, 23-year-old kid in San Diego, and he's going to make, you know, appearances on behalf of the ball club. San Diego's a big military town. He's going to visit military hospitals. And as he said, I'm like this 22, 23-year-old kid, and I go to the military hospital. I'm seeing triple amputees. I'm seeing soldiers back with PTSD. And I'm trying to talk to them. And he said two things. One, I'm looking at them. I'm like, these guys are the same age as me. You know, why was I blessed to be doing what I'm doing and hear this poor soldier's wounded in bed, number one. And number two, as he said, I learned way back then, if you just show some love to some of these guys, it's amazing how far it can go. And that's kind of how he's lived his life in terms of you know, whoever he's come in contact with and when he's set up his charity, his foundation, you know, which helps both the military and underprivileged kids.
So, you know, we, as you know, all through the years that you've been friends with me, we play tons of music on this show and always have over the years. I saw that you the other day, well, first of all, let me say, I thought the piece of the piece on PV was just so excellent. Just great work, fantastic writing and journalism. I hope that Jake loved it as much as I did, and I'm sure readers everywhere. If you haven't read this article on Jake Peavy, I Need a Miracle Every Day, you gotta just, you know, Google it, look up Scott Miller, read the piece. It's really it's a tearjerker. It's cool stuff, great stuff. But you know, I saw you the other day, unless I'm mistaken, you were getting all excited about the Smashing Pumpkins. Like, they're going to do, like, an original five first album tour or something like that. And you said that it was like, am I wrong that it was like the greatest news you'd heard in years or something?
You know, two things. First, Scott, thanks so much for everything you just said about the story. I people seem to like it, and I'm thrilled Jake opened up like he did. And I was honored to be able to tell his story, and thank you for all those compliments. Secondly, no, you know, it's funny. I think maybe you've got another Scott Miller. That was not me.
I thought it was you.
But that said, I'm a huge music junkie, and that's part of why, you know, I included all the music. You know, that's one area Jake and I have connected, you know, through music. In fact, that Springsteen show that I mentioned
right.
that Jake was at in spring training, I was at that same show. In fact, Jake and I, this is spring of 2016, Jake and I were texting during the show. We were trying to see if we could meet up, and then it didn't work out. He was in a different part of the arena. But, no, that wasn't me.
Okay, wait, now.
But I'm thrilled.
Carver.
It was. I respect the passion.
Right. So, anyway, I thought the end of the story with the Bob Seger stuff was awesome. I love old Bob Seger. Now, Carver, I tell the story. Who is that guy? How did I screw that up? Because when I saw it originally, didn't I say to you, I'm like.
There's another Scott Miller that works here.
He also works for
MLB Network.
Oh, so he's the guy that.
Like behind-the-scenes stuff.
He wrote about the Smashing Pumpkins.
So his, very deceiving if you follow both of you on Twitter.
Yeah, that's what happened.
This guy's handle actually says Scott Miller MLB
or
something
so
like
I
that.
Yeah, so I don't like that guy now.
Easy mistake to make, yes. In fact, I don't know him, but on Twitter years ago, he reached out to me. And yeah, he's Scott Miller MLB.
Yeah.
I'm Scott Miller BBL, so
yeah.
It's really easy to get mixed up. I follow him, and he follows me simply because of the Scott Miller stuff. But, in fact, ironically, you know, talking music and back to the Peavy story, the Grateful Dead lyrics, I Need a Miracle Every Day, the
right.
American essayist that wrote the lyrics for the Dead, that John Barlow.
Right.
Ironically, okay, I'm with Peavy like 3 weeks ago doing this story.
Right.
Barlow just passed away last week.
Wow.
Now, Jake texted me yesterday when the story was posted, and he did like it. He you know, you always a little worried about that. You hope to not screw something up.
Right.
I don't think I did. He didn't call me out on anything. But anyway, when he texted me yesterday, he was traveling en route to the memorial service for that Barlow guy that wrote the lyrics.
Wow.
That I quoted. You know, how weird is that?
That's crazy.
You know, that was, you know, when Jake mentioned those lyrics 3 weeks ago when I'm interviewing him, you know, it's just, you know, a lyric that was close to his heart. And
right.
then 2 weeks later, the guy passes away, and now Jake's, you know,
that's crazy. That's crazy. All right, so 30 seconds, respectfully. What do you got up your sleeve down in Florida at Grapefruit?
Yeah, you know, I just landed tonight in Tampa, and I'm going to be running around Florida the next couple of weeks. You know, there'll be plenty. You know, I'm going to Yankees camp, of course. You can't miss that. Cardinals camp. There'll be a handful of stuff here, and then Arizona. I'll be in Arizona much of March. So, also, we'll talk later about this. I know you're pressed for time, but I also have a book actually coming out on March 20th.
Nice.
So we get back to that. It's co-written with Bob Tewksbury, the former pitcher.
Sure.
He's on mental skills in baseball. He's the mental skills coach right now with the San Francisco Giants.
Wow.
And, we co-authored that. That's been about a two-year project. We're thrilled. That's coming out March 20th.
What's that book called?
90% Mental. If you Google it, Bob Tewksbury and my name, 90% Mental
right.
is the title. Kind of off the Yogi Berra quote.
And the
you'll find it. I think it's on pre-order right now. You can pre-order at Amazon
sweet.
At different places. And comes out in bookstores everywhere nationally on March 20th.
All right, perfect. I can't wait. We'll talk about that for sure. And I'll catch up with you when you get back to Arizona. And just remember, he just texted me in the middle of this interview, actually, on my phone right now. Scott Miller said he thinks the Smashing Pumpkins suck. I just got that text right now. Scott, have fun in Florida, and great job on the PV piece. Brilliant stuff, man.
All right, my friend. Thank you, my friend. I appreciate that very much, and take care.
All right, Scott Miller down at the Grapefruit League in Tampa. He's getting ready to tour Florida, 855-212-4CBS.
This is Pharrell on the Bench.
So you saw that that football coach, that Aaron Feist guy down in Florida, where all the, murders took place at the school on Wednesday. He died. He selflessly shielded students from the shooter when he was shot. He died a hero, and everyone, that learned of his death was devastated. Apparently, he was like the greatest guy in the world at the school and in the community with kids. They all adored him. So that was a horrible loss. So the crazy thing about it is, you won't even believe this, but it's true. So my son, he had a friend that moved from where we live, and he moved to Parkland, Florida, and his sister was one of the 17 that were killed. So my son knew the girl and her brother, and the girl died. She was shot at the school on Wednesday, and she was from Mafia, our town. She lived where we live, believe it or not, and moved there 2 years ago from where I live now. And Gunner knew the girl, and obviously 34C knew her mother. And her mother was all over, like, CNN and Fox and all that. She was screaming and yelling, obviously, about the gun control issues in this country and politicians and Trump and everyone else, obviously with great merit, about the loss of her beautiful daughter. I'm not going to name names or anything, but the girl, I didn't know her, but I certainly recognized her. When I saw the picture that, you know, she grew up in my son's cliques, you know, like with all the kids in the area. There's not that many, you know what I mean? It's like, it's a small circle of friends. She knew my son and whatever. I'm not even joking. And so he's all bummed out and my wife is all bummed out. They knew the family that had left where I live and moved down to Florida, and she got shot in that slaughter by that loser on Wednesday. And then he faced the music today, didn't he? Went in front of the judge today And he's facing 17 counts of murder. Isn't that about what it boils down to? Anthony Rizzo went down to Florida to console family and friends after the school shooting at Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland. Unbelievable. He graduated from there, Rizzo, and the Cubs let him go down there. He had arrived in Mesa, Arizona a few days ago, and he went down to Florida to, you know, he's that kind of guy. He won the Roberto Clemente Award for his community involvement and contributions off the field. He went down to Parkland to help with the aftermath of the school shootings. And you got to commend him for that, right? That's pretty cool. And we just hope everybody's all right down there. I used to go to one of my favorite restaurants, believe it or not, is down there in Coral Springs. And my buddy ran it. He was the head chef there. I used to eat there all the time. Hobos. Great spot. So I feel horrible for everybody down there. And, you know, I have a place down there. I live down there a lot. I go down there a lot. And I just feel terrible, like everybody else, for what happened. I don't even like to watch it. I don't like to get involved. It's so depressing and so terrible what happened. It's so heinous. I just can't even deal with it. I'm not good at dealing with that kind of stuff. So I just, my thoughts and prayers go out to everybody. I hope everybody's okay. And somehow that they get through this. It's just craziness. I can't even believe my son knew the girl. All of it's just insane that how small of a world we live in, that he actually knew one of the girls that got shot dead. Just craziness. And to think that like 2 years ago she was living up here and everything's fine, and then now they move down there and that happens. How crazy is that? That is just absolutely nuts. Anyway, we got a lot going on. We're going to come back and talk to our thoughts are with you, Florida. Aaron Torres from The Athletic about college basketball. Not only all the upsets that have been going on, but the FBI probe that allegedly is about to bring down three dozen college basketball programs? How crazy is that? Speaking of crazy, I can't wait to see all the heavies that go down the drain, the coaches. And these guys, have you ever seen anything like remember Tom Izzo's face of what he looks like with the Nassar story, what that did to Michigan State and all the, you know, sexual assault and everything that went on in East Lansing, allegedly. Those, I mean, that guy's face tells 1,000 stories, doesn't it? He looks like he's about 105 now, Tom Izzo. I mean, forget basketball. That guy looks like he's on death's doorstep from all that stress. I feel like that's just insanity as well. We'll talk about all the scandal going on in college basketball. Will it ruin, believe it or not, the NCAA tournament this year with all this going on right now?
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
This is Pharrell on the Bench.
No one hits more winners than PharrellOnTheBench.com. Friday, got the Rising Stars game at Staples in L.A. All-Star game is Sunday. LeBron against Steph. College basketball Friday, Rhode Island's at St. Bonnie. That should be a great game. NHL on Friday, four games. St. Louis at Dallas, the best. Islanders at Carolina. Don't forget Saturday, Danny Garcia against Brandon Rios on Showtime in boxing. MMA, we give you daily fantasy rosters. PharrellOnTheBench.com has it all. You get every pick, every sport, every game, every day, $35 a month. It's a joke, and I make you fat stacks because I hit so many winners. It's that simple. Sign up today. You won't regret it. Everybody's doing it. They just won't admit it. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, is brought to you by Geico. Hey, everyone, here's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Do you need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance, too? Get it all at geico.com. Jamie in Florida, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
Pharrell, I'm a Lions fan married to a Patriots fan, and I just need to know your opinion on this. Do you think Matt Patricia's actually going to make a difference this season over Jim Caldwell?
I mean, I guess there's always the potential for that to happen. He could get, you know, beginner's luck there, and he's got a good quarterback. There's no denying it, and, you know, they can score. I like Stafford a lot. Problem is, you know, the team's history repeats itself continuously. They end up just stinking. and they don't matter at the end of the day. They never win anything. They never come close to winning anything. They make the playoffs and then they're out. They don't generally even make the playoffs. So it's just, it's been such a disaster there with the Lions over the years when you think about it. There's no other way to glorify it. I mean, it's that simple. They don't win. And
that Super Bowl has got me scared, you know what, less.
About what?
The defense. I mean, Patricia is being hired as a defensive genius, according to Detroit Press, and that Super Bowl is brutal.
Yeah, let's get a hold of ourselves there. I don't know if anyone would call him a genius. I think they've had, you know, I've always believed that Belichick is the guy that picks the talent and that gives the jobs out and fills the holes that need to be filled with the right types of players. I think he manages the talent, manages the budget, manages the cap, knows how to do everything. And then Patricia and the like and McDaniels, they coach with what they got. And I think he's done a good job with the defense overall. But I've always believed, and they've done, you know, bend, don't break. But it's to me about Tom Brady and what he does and what Belichick does more than it's been about, frankly, Patricia or McDaniels. I think he's got a very tough job on his hands in Detroit, and that's all there is to it. I mean, let's face it. Whoever gets that job, what happens every time in Detroit? They get hired, and like anything else, they get fired. And that's all there is to it. Aaron Torres is with The Athletic. We got him on to talk college rack. Can you believe that the way Kentucky's crumbling? You wrote a piece about their problems, and, you know, you said basically that it's the SEC, the rest of the conference is good, and that they're just not as up to snuff.
Yeah. First of all, Scotty, I appreciate you having me, man.
My man.
I hope you're I was going to say, I hope you're well, brother. I'm not making excuses for Kentucky. They have problems. They're the youngest team in college basketball. They don't have that star guy that they usually have with De'Aaron Fox or John Wall or whoever, Anthony Davis, fill in the blank. There are other problems, but what I think people forget to realize is this is also just the toughest the SEC has ever been, and it's like the old Big East. It's like the ACC. When you get on a losing streak, you just can't get off of it, because everybody's so good. And John Calipari even said that after the game last night. He said, man, if we could just pull out one of these wins, I think that we could get on a roll here. And everybody says, oh, you know, well, it's what an excuse. It's like, well, think about it. They just played Auburn, which was a 2 seed in that mock bracket that came out last week. They played Tennessee, which was a 2 seed in the mock bracket. Missouri is going to be in the NCAA tournament. Texas A&M is going to be in the NCAA tournament. Those are the 4 losses that they have in this losing streak. And then, oh, by the way, they play Alabama with Avery Johnson over the weekend, which is another projected NCAA tournament team. So this team has problems. This team has issues. I don't know that they'll get fixed by the end of the year, but I think the one thing people aren't talking about is they just don't have that soft league where they can get right the way that they've been able to in years past.
You said that you think 8 teams can make it from the SEC into the tournament.
Well, I'll tell you this, all of the bracketology, you know, experts right now have right around 8, and it sounds crazy, but you start going through the list, Scotty. I mean, we know Auburn's in, we know Florida's in, we know, you know, Tennessee's in. Then you start looking down the list, Missouri has played their way in over the last couple weeks, Alabama has played their way in over the last couple weeks, Kentucky, for all of their problems, has some nice out-of-conference wins. They won at West Virginia. They beat Louisville. They beat Virginia Tech. Alabama has about as good a wins as anybody in college basketball, if you can believe that. Beat Tennessee, Auburn, Oklahoma, University of Rhode Island. Like, they have a lot of really good wins. And so you start going down the list. Yeah, there's 7 or 8 teams. It sounds crazy, but this is a really good league this year. And, you know, there's just not as much of a bottom, but it sounds crazy to think the SEC in basketball. But, yes, I think by Selection Sunday we're looking at 7, potentially 8 teams in the tournament. I would put that number at 7. and feel pretty good about it. It sounds crazy, but it really, this is just that outlier year where, you know, Missouri has a good team, Alabama has a good team. It's just, it's incredible how good that league is.
So, Aaron Torres with us from The Athletic. You don't think Purdue can't be a number one now after three straight losses, especially the ugly one tonight in Madison?
Yeah, that one's going to hurt. And, you know, obviously, historically, losing in Madison is never something that's going to be a resume killer. But in this particular year, it is. You know, I want to say it's too early to say that they can't get back onto that one line. But there's two things working against them, Scotty. One is that people forget the Big Ten regular season is basically over. Remember, they decided to end the regular season a week early so they can play their conference tournament in Madison Square Garden. I don't know if you guys know this. Like, they're playing in their conference tournament the week before everybody else. So they go to Madison Square Garden a week before the Big East. So they're going to be done with their regular season coming up here and then transition into conference tournament play very shortly. And the other thing is they just don't have a lot of chances at that conference tournament to pick up big wins. Obviously, you know, they play Michigan State. They play, potentially play Ohio State. There just aren't a lot of good teams in that league. So I think you're right. I think time has about run out on Purdue. Now, look, if Nova goes on a major slide here, if Virginia, I guess, in theory, goes on a major slide, maybe they could fall off that one line, or maybe they could work their way back onto that one line. But with the way it's looking, with the way everybody else is playing right now, as well as the way that they're playing, to your point, three straight losses, I think it's unlikely.
How is the same thing with Villanova? How many losses can they have where people still have them as a number one? They keep losing, and everybody still has them as a number one. They don't deserve to be a number one. They keep losing. They lost to St. John's, and then they lost to Providence. In my opinion, those are bad losses. How can they be a number one? Because of what? I don't get it.
You know, Scotty, you know, I'm a humble guy. I don't like to pat myself on the back here very often. I got to say, I nailed this one about a week and a half ago. I looked at Villanova, I'll say in their defense, and first of all, the St. John's thing, it's weird, but we know St. John's is really hot right now. But I said this, I looked at their schedule and I said, early in the year they lost at Butler. They could have lost at Marquette. And every other big-time game in the Big East, the Big East being a true round-robin league where everybody plays everybody twice on the road and at home, they hadn't played any of the good teams on the road yet. And they had played them all at home. And so I looked at the schedule, and as of last night, they still had to play at Providence, at Seton Hall, at Xavier, and at Creighton. And I said, they're not going to win all those games. And so about 2 weeks ago, I said, guys, I know we all love Nova. They're not as good as you think they are. And all the stat nerds, and they threw out all the lame advanced metrics. I'm like, I don't care about the advanced metrics. I'm telling you, they're not going to win games. And here we are. They're 1-2 since I sent out that tweet at @Aaron_Torres, I might add. And, like, yeah, they're falling apart. And I think part of it is injury. You can't dispel the fact that a couple guys have been in and out of the lineup. Phil Booth is out for an extended period of time with a hand injury. But they also just – They got the easy part of their schedule early in conference play, and through no fault of their own, their schedule was just brutally backloaded. And so, you know, the problem is kind of the point we're making with Purdue, nobody's really clamoring for these number one spots. You know, Virginia should feel really good right now. And I think Xavier, you know, I put it this way. I think that the winner this weekend of Xavier Villanova has to feel really good. But I'm with you, Scotty. If they lose this weekend, I think there's a real realistic chance with Villanova that they could fall off that one line because, again, they still got to go to Seton Hall, to Creighton, plus the Big East tournament, which we know won't be easy.
I got 2 minutes. Tell me what you think is happening with this FBI probe, and do you know anything at all of all these power big-time programs that are going to go down the drain and coaches?
Yeah, Scotty, I remember coming on with you when this story first broke, and I said this. You know, every fan base that wasn't involved, they wanted to mock and ridicule their rivals, right? Kentucky fans want to make fun of Louisville fans, and UCLA fans want to make fun of Arizona and USC fans. And I just said, you know, I said to those people, I said, be careful what you wish for, because, you know, I don't know the exact number, and we're hearing now up to 36, you know, 40, 50 programs, whatever it may be. What I said was this. If you've recruited a top 50, top 35 NBA caliber player over the last 4 or 5 years, there is at least a reasonable chance that your program could be involved. Now, did the coach know? Or did the head coach know, I should say? Maybe, maybe not. Did, you know, was the assistant acting on his own? Maybe, maybe not. But look, this is unfortunately, and I love college basketball, but this is the game you got to play for a lot of these big time kids. I'm not saying every kid, and I'm not saying every program, but the vast majority of them, this is the game that you got to play to get these kids. And so I'm not surprised by the numbers today. I've been saying it since day one. There's other, you know, there's another shoe that's going to drop, several shoes that's going to drop. And I think that's where we're going with this is I think that you know, if the FBI wanted more information, one, they have all these wiretaps and everything like that, but two, they want these witnesses to flip and turn on other guys, the coaches that are already arrested, and I think that's what's happening. So I think more is coming. You know, I think with the legal system, it may take a little longer than most fans think in the same way that it's taken this long to get to this far. But I think it's coming, and I think it's going to be ugly for college basketball.
Wow, it is. Aaron, great stuff tonight. I can't wait to see how it all plays out. And if it ruins the NCAA tournament, it's going to be very interesting. Aaron, great stuff. Thanks for coming on the bench, brother. I'll catch up with you again real soon.
Anytime you guys need me, Scotty, thank you for having me.
All right, Aaron Torres from The Athletic and Kentucky Sports Radio with us tonight on the bench. 855-212-4227. I think that USA hockey game going to the third still, I believe, 1-1 at the start of the third period. We'll keep our eyes on that in Pyeongchang.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.